I gotta start painting over here.
Yes, please move.
Julia, can I swap with you?
Sure,
over here?
Absolutely. I'll come over.
Thank
this
you.
Way.
You know, this holiday season, people usually talk about the birth of Jesus.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we started our story with, in Matthew, we talked about the Magi, and then we also mentioned those shepherds who came and visited Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the very first chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, you'll be amazed, because it starts actually with the genealogy of Jesus.
That's right. Huh.
And people usually don't talk about the genealogy of Jesus during the season, do they?
I've never heard that mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is cool.
Most of the time people just skip it.
Exactly, because it's at least 11 verses of just list of people.
It kind of seems boring.
It does, yeah, for many. But not for us, because on Cross Connection, people are not bored with the Word of God.
No.
We are always amazed with those.
So it's more than just informational. It reveals something about God's character.
It does reveal something absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And it actually reveals acceptance.
Hmm.
Really?
Acceptance.
How so?
Yeah, what is it? What's special about these people?
I'll let you find out later, but...
You're going to have to watch.
You have to watch the entire episode to find out. But yeah, but it's acceptance.
Acceptance of... sort of the king is accepting everyone.
Acceptance.
Magi.
It's acceptance.
He's not going to give even that much.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah. But, you know, this actually reminds me of a story.
Really?
Yeah. It happened to me about, I think, 3 years ago. It had been only 9 months since I graduated from nursing school. You know, I came on my shift. It was Christmas Day. And nothing was different. I got my assignment, my patient assignment. Soon to find out that one of my patients was a 64-year-old male who was very grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
He did not like anyone. He didn't want to talk to anyone. In fact, anytime anybody walked into his room, he'd complain.
It's kind of a Scrooge.
Oh.
Yeah. I went in and introduced myself. So I left my phone and my name on the board and just said, just give me a call if you need anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think? Do you think he called me?
Did he call you like every 5 minutes?
Yeah. That's a good idea. Actually, he did not. You know what? He did not call the entire day. So, finally, it was almost time for me to go home. 6:30 p.m. I get a phone call. So, he tells me, Julia, I need you in my room right now. So, I rush into this patient's room. And I said, are you all right? Is everything okay? He's like, no, can you just sit by me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay.
Oh, wow.
Said, you know what? You were so kind and accepting to me all day that I just wanted to share my story with you.
Mm.
And I thought, that's interesting. So I sat by him, and as he started to share his story, tears rolled down his eyes.
Oh, man.
And, and what he told me was this. He said, I actually come from a very good family, very wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a prestigious business school and got a really good degree and worked as a banker and was very successful in my career. And I married my beautiful wife and we had 3 children. We went to church every Sunday. We did charities. And then the crisis came.
The economic crisis.
Wow. I lost my job, and I became very angry and depressed. Him and his wife started having trouble, so they got a divorce. They lost their home because the bank took it away because they couldn't be making payments on it. And she took the kids, and he ended up on the street.
With nothing?
Nothing. So
he
looked at me, he goes, Julia, in 8 months, I lost everything. And he told me, you know why I'm here this Christmas? Because I wanted to be accepted by someone. I wanted to be cared by someone. I wanted to feel that someone actually cares.
Wow.
And it was really moving. I mean, I was sitting there just crying, and I told him, I said, you know, you believe in God? He said, yeah, I do. So I just prayed with him. It was definitely a Christmas that taught me a lesson.
And that was great that you were there to accept him when nobody else really would.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember, like, when someone's being really nasty to you, that they could be really, really hurting underneath.
Yeah. And to think that he chose a hospital to come to in order to feel that love.
It's so sad on Christmas he has nobody, so he goes to a hospital just to be around people.
It reminded me once again that we all want to feel accepted. We all want to be loved by someone, especially on Christmas.
You're right.
Wow. Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story, Julia.
That's a great story.
I like that.
Thank you.
Welcome to a special edition of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings. And I'm excited because we get to talk about the most exciting story of the season. Mm. And what is the most exciting story? Besides the moles.
The birth of Jesus.
The birth of Jesus, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we just watched this heart-touching story about how my wife, actually, Julia, she had this experience, and she told me about it a lot, and it changed her perspective on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And because now we understand what the Christmas is all about. It's more about probably taking care of, and I will not use this word that I want to use later. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will use it now, acceptance. Acceptance.
Right.
And let me just start with the question, what is the weather today?
It's like freezing in here.
It's chilly in here.
It's freezing outside.
Close a window in here.
Because this is the question that we usually ask on Cross Connection.
Yes, yes.
But besides that question, I would like to ask you another question that relates to our story that we just heard. Acceptance. Do people want to be accepted? And do you want to be accepted?
The pressure's on Ian.
I like to be accepted. Most of us, I do.
Why? Why do you want to be accepted? Why people want to be accepted?
Well, I think from childhood, you just have this desire to be loved by people or accepted by people.
Ian knows what he's talking about because just how long ago did you give birth to
child? Next question. I have a two-month-old.
2 months old. And his name is?
Micaiah.
Micaiah, and what is the meaning of that name?
That's another story.
Yeah, tell us what is the meaning of
that story.
Who is like Jehovah? One is like Jehovah.
One is like Yahweh. So the Yahweh. One is like God. Oh, wow. This is great. And this is amazing because everyone has this image of God in in ourselves.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Mm. A very good name. So that's why when you told us about acceptance, like every other...
Well, I mean, it is. I didn't want to bring it up, but it's probably good to bring it up. Our child, as most children do, he cries when he's alone. He just, and you put him down to go to sleep, he just cries and cries and cries, and you think, oh, there's something wrong with him, he's dying, what's wrong? But as soon as you pick him up, he stops crying. Mm. And it's just, he just wants someone to hold him, and it's acceptance, I guess. It goes to that idea of just wanting to be accepted.
This is great, because we think that we are grown-ups, but sometimes we cry. What does it tell us about us?
I think it's so ingrained in who we are to be accepted, and really more than accepted, to be loved. Mm-hmm. So we all have that need.
Sure.
And what we're about to go over is the first chapter in the first gospel, and we see how it...
Who told you about it?
I know a guy.
Okay.
And you see from the very beginning, a basic human need is being addressed by the Son of God.
Mm. That's really awesome. Mm. Okay. And it's just so, with this whole idea of the basic need is to be loved and accepted, but it's like the hardest thing in the world to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes we think about, we want to be accepted.
Right.
And we want to be just like everyone else around us. Mm. Mm-hmm. Is it good always to be accepted? Or is it always good to be accepted by everyone?
Yeah, I guess it depends on why you're being accepted.
Okay.
Well, I think it's a weird question.
Okay,
you're asking who's doing something to me. I was touched in that story by Julia, the one doing the accepting, because you look at that, the guy seemed to be being really mean to her, and it's so easy to get caught up in yourself when someone is treating you that way. Mm. Why is this person being so mean to me? Why are they treating me this way? And guess what? Because Julia was able to endure that and still be loving to him, she found out that there was a hurting person underneath that.
Jennifer just mentioned, it's hard to do. Everyone wants to be accepted, but it's hard to accept others. Mm-hmm. And like with the story, it would have been hard for anyone to accept the man in the story. Mm-hmm. But of course, Julia, she could have taken the approach and saying, why isn't he accepting me?
Right.
And called her husband and cried about it. But rather, she accepted him.
This is great, and this is what we need to learn, I guess. Mm-hmm. Acceptance, no matter what that person is even doing to me now, I'll try to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we will start our special edition of Cross Connection. Actually, very, very weird start it will be, I tell you. Because we will start with the very first
chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, the very first verses. It doesn't make any sense to start this season's or Christmas season's program with the genealogy of Jesus.
No wise men, no baby Jesus, no, none of that.
How often would you hear, talking about Christmas story and just start, let's start with the genealogy of Jesus. What? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Like, we named the reindeer after the people in the
Exactly. Yeah. But you'll be surprised because there is so much beautiful things kind of covered. Uh-huh. But we will see that they are not covered. They are actually there on the surface. Mm. And this is simply amazing. Because the average modern person who thinks maybe I'll read the New Testament, they open the very first book of the Old of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is the book, the Gospel of
Matthew.
Yeah.
And it starts... And Sergio, let's just start it. Okay. How does it start?
There's a genealogy there. You want me to read it?
Yes, please. Okay. Just three.
This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Mm-hmm. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of...
Okay, I fall asleep. I almost fell asleep. It doesn't make, it's just a dry list of people. It doesn't make any sense even to start from there. Mm-hmm. But there is something amazing.
What is it?
Okay. You know better than me, I guess. Okay. First of all, it's the book of the genealogy. Uh-huh. What is the genealogy?
I guess. What is a genealogy?
Yeah, what is the genealogy?
It's a... The family, like a family tree. Tree.
Family tree, yeah. Family tree. This is what is, like, Ancestry.com is the most popular website, maybe. Mm-hmm. For at least it was at some points. So people always want to know who they are.
Yeah. Right.
They even claim that my identity belongs to one of the largest and one of the most powerful tribes or castes in India or somewhere else or somewhere else or in anywhere in the world. We always want to get this, okay. Who am I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always want to trace my identity.
Yeah.
Mm. And Matthew does it right away. Mm-hmm. Here is the genealogy of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
Who Jesus?
Christ, the Messiah.
Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Mm. Just elaborate, just for a second. Let's just elaborate on this one first verse. And if we miss this one first verse, we can miss the entire Christmas story. Mm. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I was hoping you were going to tell.
I know. I'm like...
I'm on edge.
Okay. But Jesus, who is Jesus in this? He's presented as Jesus being...
The Messiah.
The Messiah.
Messiah.
So he's the one, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. He's the son of God. And then he's also the son of David. Who was David?
The king.
He was the king, yeah.
King of Israel.
He was the king of Israel. He was, in fact, the greatest king of Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is why even though the Star of David was a later invention, but... It's called even the Star of David.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So people always claim, okay, here is the son of David. We are the sons of David, etc. Mm-hmm. And then also son of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Who was Abraham?
And the father of the race.
Yeah, he was ancestor of David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was an ancestor of David, but at the same time, he was the one who was the father of the entire nation.
Israel nation.
Yeah. God's people. They called themselves God's people, or those guys' people. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus comes, first of all, he's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Second of all, he's an ancestor of David. And third of all, he's the son of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was not the king that was there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't actually David's
descendant.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So now, when this king comes, he will actually be
here's
David's
the real
descendant.
King.
He's the real king. Okay, now, here is the real king. What does it mean that Jesus Christ, who Christians worship today, is the real king?
I mean, we're about to see, even from the very beginning here, it's like you said, a genealogy is about, it's revealing who you are. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. And there are a lot of things that are revealed here about Jesus that we're about to get into. And when you know that this is the character of the king, that this is how he is, it's something that can be incredibly moving to know that the king, even the king, has all of these incredible qualities.
Okay, and this is something very interesting because Sergio is digging even deeper now. You're actually you're teasing something that is ahead.
Well, yeah.
This is simply amazing because even though this is the genealogy, this is about identity, but this is also about the qualities. And where are those qualities revealed in this genealogy? In verse, and we can see in verse 3. In verse 3, what does it say in your Bible, Jennifer?
Judah begat Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begat Hezron and Hezron begat Ram.
Okay, there is something unique right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the old genealogies, there is always the list of people, usually male.
Right. Yeah, sure, males. Yeah. Sure.
So it's usually males. And here is one lady. Mm-hmm. Her name is Tamar. And then in verse 5, there is another lady. Her name is
Ruth.
Rahab and Ruth. Rahab and Ruth. Mm-hmm. And then there is another lady in verse 6.
Mm-hmm. She has no name.
She has no name, yes, but she's named as the ones who had been the wife of Uriah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there is four of these ladies. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to have them in the genealogy of Jesus. Mm. But we will find out why it is so crucial and why those women actually reveal to us the character of this Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the King. Mm-hmm. So don't go anywhere. Perhaps the most uninteresting part of the Bible is this part, which is the genealogy of Jesus. But you will find out right after the break that it is the most exciting part of the Bible as well. We will continue after the break, so stay with us.
I love learning about my ancestors. It makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. And this gives me hope.
Welcome back to Cross Connection, a special edition of Cross Connection. And we're excited because we just jumped into the genealogy of Jesus, even though it doesn't seem that this is a holiday season story.
Right.
But we'll
right.
find out that it is. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, it tells us about the identity of Jesus. Mm. And second, it reveals us his character right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his character is revealed by mentioning those four women. Mm-hmm. Those women are, first, Tamar,
Rahab,
Ruth, and
Bathsheba.
Yeah, we know that her name is Bathsheba.
Sure.
Mm. Quickly, because we have another study on the entire genealogy of Jesus, and if you would like to watch this study, you can always go to our website, which is crossconnection.hopetv.org, and you can go and find our episode on the genealogy of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, we will just talk about the characteristics that are shared by them.
Mm. Sure.
So what are those most important characteristics? And I know that you know, so tell me.
Yeah, right away. Yeah.
There's a scandal in almost all of them.
Yeah, there is a scandal. Sure. What kind of scandal is there? Tell us, because I want to know the scandal.
A lot of times involving sexual impropriety or implications involving that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there is scandal for sure. Yeah. There is something else, which is also very...
I think... When you look at all of the entire genealogy, I think it's really interesting that God didn't pick like all of these super virtuous people to be in his line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some really upright people and then you have really shady people. And when I think of like this line about Judah and Tamar, Judah was Tamar's father-in-law and he thought she was a prostitute. And so he solicited her to have sex with her. And then only after sleeping with her and giving her, I guess, the Old Testament equivalent of his, like, driver's license and credit card.
Okay.
Right.
His staff and his coat or something because he couldn't come up with the money, you know.
Yeah, and then the sheep will be coming.
Yeah, and then the sheep is coming. I'm leaving you with my ID until later. But after, you know, he found out that she was pregnant, you know, it was, of course, you know, he decided to go enforce the commandment against adultery by burning down her house. And then she was like, hey, you know, I got your ID. Maybe you don't want to do that.
Wow.
And so... to see those two both in the same line says something about the way God perceived Judah and Tamar.
This is beautiful. Yeah, I'll tell you why it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because most of the time we emphasize only women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But you pointed it very well because it's also Judah.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because he's just as innocent as
more,
anyone else.
He's even more shady because, you know,
he had
no reason. Tamar didn't have a good reason. I mean, she was just trying to have an heir. Mm-hmm. But he, it was just his participation was motivated by lust. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is one shady person. There is another shady person. It looks like, and all those persons are listed in the lineage of Jesus.
Yeah. They have flawed characters.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
That's interesting.
I mean, it's kind of crazy when you really think about it. Who opens their gospel? Here is Jesus Christ, the King, the son of prostitutes and all of this other crazy things as the result of someone being murdered so he could then sleep with this woman and all of these horrible things that are directly being alluded to in mentioning this. It's clearly, and especially since we know it goes outside of what you normally told a genealogy. So there's clear intent here, and it's very clearly trying to say something about the character of Jesus Christ, who up until now has not even born in our narrative. Yeah.
So even before he's born, this is who he is.
He's accepting all these people.
Mm-hmm. No matter what you have done in the past, you're in his kingdom.
I would have been putting like Job and Mary and like all the virtuous characters in the Bible.
But it's not the end, because even inheritance doesn't matter anymore. Mm. Yeah. Inheritance, in a sense, because all of them were Gentiles.
Yeah. Gentiles.
Yeah, that's true too.
You're excluded. You're excluded. You're associated with Gentiles. You should be excluded. No. In God's kingdom, there is no exclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also the concept of the firstborn is often used as the primary. You know, the firstborn is often chosen as the king. Mm-hmm. Of course, David was not the firstborn. David was the last of his brothers. But actually looking at those before Judah, Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac really wasn't the firstborn. Ishmael was the firstborn. Mm. Isaac begets Jacob. Esau was the firstborn.
Yeah.
Jacob begets Judah. Reuben was the firstborn. And then Phares and then all, on the others. I think even there's a little emphasis that the inheritance, which would usually go to the firstborn, the prominence would usually go to the firstborn, in Jesus' lineage, it's just not that way.
Yeah. But this is amazing, because this is simply amazing now, because we've gone through the entire Gospel of Matthew. We have. And you were a great part of it.
Yeah.
And we learned that actually the word that Jesus used most of the time, in fact, this is the most used word by Jesus when he was talking to anyone, when he was referring to anyone.
What is it?
It wasn't brothers or sisters, was it? Mm-hmm. It wasn't beloved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything of that nature. What was it? Sergio, you can help me.
Was it hypocrite?
That was hypocrite.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It was hypocrite.
Oh my gosh.
So when Jesus referred, later on, and if you're interested, go ahead and read the entire Gospel of Matthew. Yeah. It will take you just a
few. He's got all these hypocrites in the genealogy.
Exactly, because he says, no. Not only hypocrite, because he says, no. In the genealogy, these are people.
Yeah.
They were not afraid of saying, yes, you know, I had this problem.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I've gone through this.
That's true.
Yes,
all of them didn't even get to that point. I mean, Judah, he was a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. He was going to kill Tamar until he realized she had his ID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then he repented, because he said, ultimately he said, no, she did.
More righteous than me.
Yeah, she's more righteous than I am righteous.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
This is what
That's
he
the
said.
Ultimate non-hypocritical
so
thing to say.
So he made it by the skin of his teeth.
Someone else
I am admitting that you...
He finally admitted he was wrong.
Absolutely. Okay. Wow, this
another
is a
theme with the women, actually. All of their stories, I was thinking about this, all their stories actually ended well. You know, of course, Tamar, she wanted a son. Mm-hmm. That's why her second husband was killed, because he wouldn't give her a son. But eventually she has twins. Who is it? Rahab, she eventually joined into Israel.
Oh, yes, Ruth.
Done well. Ruth, of course, she marries a rich man. Yeah, and, of course, Bathsheba becomes the mother of a queen.
Well, see, I see that as the opposite. I don't think their stories ended well.
Oh, really?
I think those women endured all of the terrible discrimination that was a part of their culture. And so, to me, it shows that God's justice can transcend your culture. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that Tamar was so desperate to have a son that she slept with her father-in-law. That's pretty gross, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And the fact that she was in that culture, maybe she felt that was her only way out, because if she ended up being a widow without a son, she could have been incredibly impoverished. Mm-hmm. So God is taking people who are not valued in their culture and not treated well, and he's elevating them to the level of putting them in the genealogy.
Yeah. This is excellent, and this is a great lesson to me, because the one who is Jesus, when he is ready to come to this world, and God chooses Mary and Joseph, no matter what has happened, what was happening in their previous genealogy, whatever it may be, he says, no, I am choosing people, no matter whether you're a righteous person or not, and I want you to be accepted.
Yeah.
Accept it. And then later on, we will see in the entire gospel according to Matthew, he does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Ian, I was just saying, like, it's crazy that it's not just even acceptance. Like, oh, I accept you. Mm-hmm. He's going, I'm going to be one of you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in your family. I'm going to insert myself as one of you, as a part of you, rather than just, you know, it's okay. He takes it a step further, and he embraces them, becomes one of them. These are my people.
Yeah. That's really awesome.
I mean, definitely in contrast to the kings of the world, of course, even the contemporary king here, of course, the Caesars, I mean, they took on the name Caesar because of Julius Caesar. So they wanted to be associated with that great that man before.
And Augustus, which is godly.
Right. Divine. So they wanted to, you know, they wanted to associate with this great person who was in their lineage before. Mm-hmm. But this king is outright, like you were pointing out, you imagine if we found out that the president of the United States' grandmother was a prostitute. I mean, that would be, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and he'd try to cover it up, right?
Yeah.
He'd try to cover it up as much as possible.
Most people don't even get to pick their genealogy, but God got to pick who he wanted in his genealogy, and he deliberately chose people who look like us with their skeletons in their closets and their flaws and their mistakes. Mm.
But this is simply amazing, because when Jesus comes, he says, no, there is not going to be such thing as tradition anymore. Because I'm breaking your tradition for the sake of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. If this tradition abuses somebody, or if this tradition doesn't like anyone, if this tradition rejects someone, this tradition has to be demolished.
It's gone.
Yeah. It's gone.
Even in my birth, I'm destroying it.
Yes, and he does it right now. And he says, you know what? When I come here, my love will surpass all human traditions. And when he is on earth, when he is among us, he says, no, now you will experience the kingdom of God in all its power.
That's awesome.
And after this short break, we will continue our discussion of very different take. We will see how Matthew does it very differently, and how this genealogy can affect our Christmas story today. After the break, we will continue our discussion, so don't go anywhere.
All day long, I solve problems. It's nuts and bolts and grease. And I love it. But at the end of the day, I think about the world's problems. I wonder why we're all here and how it will end. And I found something that makes sense of it all. Takes the nuts and bolts of history and paints a bigger picture. Now, I have hope.
Welcome back to a special edition of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire.
Absolutely.
And if you feel the same, this is a perfect time actually to join you as well, because you can join us on our Facebook page and leave your comments, and let's continue our discussion there. It's just simply amazing what Jesus does and what God does when he chooses the perfect genealogy
absolutely
for his son.
Yes.
That genealogy is a great hope for me.
Yes.
Because no matter what I've done in the past, he says,
awesome.
You know what? You're still in my kingdom. You know what? You're still there. You're in my genealogy, no matter what you have done in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. And we need... We need to spend one more minute talking about also Rahab.
I'm so excited about Rahab.
Okay,
why the genealogy.
Are you excited?
Because I feel like, you know, I think Martin Luther King said that the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Mm-hmm. And at a lot of key points in the Bible, you don't see like immediate justice. For instance, a lot of times the laws against sexual immorality were not enforced fairly. So if a man committed acts of sexual immorality, you never heard about it again. But for women, they were really ostracized and they were outcast. Even if you look at the story of Samson, he slept with a prostitute and then on to the next, you know, thing that he did. And there was no accountability from his community. But a woman like Rahab, who probably because of the economic circumstances that she found herself in was even more vulnerable to prostitution. It wasn't lust. It was, you know, not starving to death.
Yeah.
But what is there special about her story then?
Her story was that she decided to become a part of the people of God. I mean, the children of Israel were, you know, some of the soldiers were running away, and she hid them in her home and decided to accept Christ. And then she married, you know, Boaz, and officially became a part of the family. But I feel like with God including her, I feel it really says something about his compassion and his justice and his fairness.
Yeah. So Rahab, who lived in a pagan city, as we would say.
Sure.
Like she was like, first of all, she lived in a pagan city. Second of all, she had very shady reputation. And now she wants to join our family.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, she fits right in with the rest of the people who are
shady. She does not, because we are holy. We are holy. And this is her. Yeah. This is lady. Not only this lady, but her old family. We will not accept all her family.
Right. Yeah.
This is what reaction should be. Should have been.
Yeah.
No, but what is happening then?
She's right here.
She's right here.
Yep.
Not only here, she's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. What a great hope.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just, you were saying it before, and it's just, you read it. What, because on first glance, this is such a dry way to start your gospel. It's so boring when you read through it, but then you start to study it further. This is so... This is just shattering convention.
Yeah.
This is just immediately saying, this guy I'm about to talk to you about, Jesus Christ, look at how he just shatters everything that you think is normal.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not the right way to start your Christmas season.
Right.
No, maybe this is the right way to start our Christmas
season. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because after this study, I will just go home and I will say, praise the Lord, because even though I had my skeleton, I have my skeleton in my
closet,
I will open my closet, I will just throw them away.
Of course.
But even if somebody will remind me of those, I will say, you know what? I know somebody who accepts me already.
Amen. Yeah.
Who accepted me already.
Rahab is definitely a one. You can look at the point, as was mentioned, she was already outside of God's people.
Yes.
Not only that, God had decided that her people were to be destroyed. I mean, you remember that was the rule that all of the people
of Jericho,
all
the nations were...
Right, they were given over to destruction. God had said they were to be destroyed. They were too wicked. So in general, her people were wretched and wicked in need of destruction. And then, as mentioned, even among her people, she was a prostitute. Now, you mentioned it could have been for, you know, we don't know the circumstances as to why she was in prostitution. But it would be easy for her to think, as I know many people think, that I'm too far for this God to accept. I'm too far off. I'm too much in too much. Mm-hmm. Even said, my people are wicked. I am wicked. There's no way this God would accept me. But the fact that she was so bold as to attempt to join God's people, and he welcomes her with open arms. And I think that also is a strong point that none of us are too. There's Paul says that he's not far off from any one of us. He's
absolutely
close to, no matter how far we may seem. And I think that's a strong lesson from this.
You know, my wife, she volunteers sometimes in this house where there's children. They study there, and those children, they are not from nice circumstances
stable
in their families, not stable families.
Right.
And when this is very interesting, because whenever they come and they ask those little kids, if they're in grade 5, when they ask them, What do you think is your strong side? Why do you think what is your strength?
Yeah. Right.
They would most of the time say, I'm dumb, I cannot do anything, I'm not good at math, I'm not good at anything else, I'm just stupid.
Yeah.
No.
But then, what happens? Then later on, in grade 10, later on, they are asked the same question. And the teachers, what they do, they constantly encourage them. They constantly say, no, you're so wise. Look at you're so smart. Look at this. Look what you've done. Look what you're doing. And in grade 10, the same question is asked. And they say, now I know that I am smart. I can do it. And I'll be able to succeed. Yeah. And ultimately, they go to the best colleges in the United States.
Praise God. Wow.
So this is what happens when God comes.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? I want to uplift you. Amen. I want to give you this power.
Yeah.
I want to dwell among you.
And just those kids, there are many like that who are born into very difficult environments. They're born into very horrible family economic situations as well. And again, those people will be tempted to feel, I'm too far off. You know, God is the God of the middle class, or God is the God of the higher class, the upper class. He's not for me. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. My family's not good enough. But again, Rahab is here. I'm showing that in Jesus' past family, his ancestors, as well as now his descendants, his children, can be brought into regardless of their
what a beautiful Christmas story.
You know, you talk about acceptance and as a theme here, and I'm just seeing it more and more the more we're studying it. In Julia's story, that man was hurting. She didn't, you know, it didn't seem like it at first, but he was hurting. He had a need. He was so desperate that he needed to go to the hospital just to be around people during Christmas. Yeah. And you see it here too. You alluded to it, how Tamar, she had a need in her culture. In order to have value in her culture, she needed to bear a son. She needed to belong to something. She needed to be accepted. Rahab, the same thing. Hey, I want to be a part of your people. Sure. Ruth, she needed to find a husband because I need to be a part of something. And we see that need being fulfilled in the form of Jesus Christ before he's even said a word, before he is even, anything has happened in his story. We see even in his genealogy that being fulfilled. And it's really cool.
And the thing that I like the most about this, I just feel like it just highlights God's justice, because I see equality here. I mean, you don't have virtuous women and, you know, shady men, or virtuous men and shady women. You have men and women who both have flaws and challenges, but are accepted by God.
Accepted, loved.
And loved.
Accepted and loved. And so no matter what you have done in the past.
Yes.
And this reminds me of another illustration. If anyone reminds you of, if Satan reminds you of your past, of your mistakes, just remind them of his future. But if anyone reminds you of your past, just say, you know what, get out from me, Satan, because this is what probably would do. And there is an illustration about, it's Auguste Rodin. He actually, it's a beautiful illustration that I really enjoyed. He was a sculptor, and two of his sculptures actually, the hand of God, and the other one is the hand of the devil, the hand of Satan. In the hand of Satan, there is a perfect person laying in that hand. Perfect person. But in the hand of God, you're just a stone, and out of that stone you can see a piece of leg, or your leg, and then your head, and then your hand. So in the hand of God, he wants to create something amazing from you, no matter who you are, no matter what your past was. In the hand of the devil, there is no need to...
You're fine, everything, there's nothing wrong with you.
You're perfect.
Yeah.
You're already perfect, and you always need to portray yourself as being perfect. But if you are in the hand of God, and if godly people are around you, you're not afraid to say, you know what?
Yeah.
This is my mistake.
I have to share the story that I heard real quick. So there was a lady that I've had an opportunity to get to know and meet, and she's just got the most powerful testimony. She used to be addicted to drugs, and we actually had an opportunity to talk about the genealogy of Jesus together, and that was exciting for us. But she had a history of just like addiction to drugs, and she was so addicted that she couldn't even like keep herself clean. You know, she'd be vomiting on herself and just, you know, terrible. And now that lady has given her life to Christ, and she evangelizes, and she says, I feel really comfortable walking up to someone who is high on drugs and just putting my arms around them, even if they're covered in vomit and even if they're dirty, and sharing God's love with them. And so it's, God can use anyone, and he takes us when we're all covered up, you know, and messed up. And he uses us to reach people who are coming from the same place that he brought us from.
This is so beautiful. Now, besides just fascinating information, there is something amazing about this story as well for us, and how we can apply it in this season. And after this short break, we will continue our discussion and we will be back. So don't go anywhere.
A movement toward daily scripture reading is underway. It's called Revived by His Word. The plan? To read one chapter of the Bible per day. The goal? To direct the attention of participants to the importance of knowing Jesus through his word.
Welcome back to Cross Connection Special Edition. And this is simply amazing because many people, millions of people, mm-hmm. started reading the Gospels and the New Testament in general mm-hmm. from this very chapter. Mm. And let me challenge everyone. Unless you understand the very opening of this book, mm-hmm. only then you'll be able to understand what Jesus' life was all about later on.
Amen.
You may challenge me now, of course, as well. But it's just amazing how this story reveals to us the character of God and his identity. Yeah. We just learned that he is Jesus. Yep. Mm. By the way, name Jesus, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's one for scholars.
Yahweh saves. Mm-hmm. God saves.
God saves.
That's so awesome. Yahweh saves and the Christ is not his last name, is it? No, it's not. Because the Christ means actually the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So Yahweh saves, the one who Yahweh saves, he is the Messiah. He is the son of David. He is king, in other words. Mm-hmm. And he is the son of Abraham, but he is king. And he is he loves everyone so much mm-hmm. that he doesn't mind having those people mm. in his genealogy.
Mm. More than doesn't mind, he went out of his way.
Yeah,
to
get
him.
I take my words back. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
He openly embraced that. And it's something.
He does it for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reacting. I feel challenged by this. You know, I think of the story that Jennifer just told. And I think, would I do that? You know, mm-hmm. would I get down there and to someone who's in such bad shape, it's just mm-hmm. can't even have basic functions, like not, you know, mm-hmm. being covered in, you know, all of this grossness and whatever. That's true. At what God did. This yeah. is what he did.
He included him in his genealogy yeah. and then he ate with them, you know, when mm-hmm. he was here. So
absolutely. You know, there are two commandments that Jesus gave, most important commandments. Of course, he recited all the other commandments and he said sure. all commandments are mm-hmm. very important. Mm-hmm. But there are two important ones that he mentions. Mm-hmm. Yep. The one is
love God.
Love God with all your heart, with uh-huh. all your mind. And the second one is?
Your neighbors.
Love everyone else.
Love your neighbors.
Yeah.
Why do you think he said that? So he said, love your neighbors. And then there is another passage where he says, whatever you do to one of the least ones, you do it to?
To me.
To me. Why do you think he said it?
I think it talks to the compassion that Jesus have, that yeah. he feels so closely to the people that are hurting. Mm-hmm. He feels so strongly for them that if you alleviate their pain, God is feeling pain for them too. So you're mm-hmm. alleviating God's pain because his compassion is so strong to the point of hurting for other people. If you alleviate what they're going through, you alleviate God because he loves them more than we could even imagine.
When God created heaven and earth, he said, you, Adam and Eve, you are my image. Mm-hmm. And everyone mm-hmm. who you reproduce, mm-hmm. who is born, they are in my image. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I love them just as, because you are my children, no matter who you are, whether you're sure. Muslim or whether you're a Buddhist or Christian or Gentile, mm-hmm. no mm-hmm. matter what you do, or yeah. pagan, whatever it is, you are God's children. Mm-hmm. You are God's children. So that is why when he says, I love all those people, mm-hmm. but we will learn later on that God acts in this world through whom?
Through people. Jesus.
Through people.
Through, yeah.
Through people. And that is why he says, if you love me, mm-hmm. love the one who is next to you.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's so humbling to me as well, because you mentioned love your neighbor as yourself, which is meaning, guess what? Your neighbor, you're no better than your neighbor. If you have to love them like yourself, you're no better than them.
Right.
And we see it here. If God made himself no better than any of the people on this list, then I need to really be challenged to start throwing away all these conceptions about myself, like I'm so great and I'm better than someone else who has it rougher than I have it, whose conditions are worse than mine. Mm-hmm. It's something I need to start purging myself mm-hmm. of, this notion that I might be better than anyone.
Okay, it's true. How? Now how would you implement what we just learned in this chapter,
right,
this season, today? And I would like to challenge us, and I would like to challenge everyone. Make it your resolution all the way till January 1. For this a few days. We've got only a few days left.
Yeah.
So we need to implement it in our lives. How would you do it?
That's hard. I think it takes the love of Christ in us, because then it can flow out to others. I think, you know, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I usually get it backwards, but it's, you know, having that connection with Christ is the only way you can love other people the way he wants you to.
And I think also practicing it, because the fact that Jennifer has that friend, I know in my experience there have been times where I've had people opportunities to show that love and not done it.
Yeah.
And it's easier, you know, of course among you guys, it's easy for me to talk about, I need to love, but when I'm actually with someone and then I often mess up, and often then I realize how high in my mind I actually feel towards these people. And that gives us opportunities to go back in prayer, work on it with Christ, and come back again and try again. Mm. I think just the exposure to the least of these individuals, it helps us have an opportunity to practice and see our deficiency and seek grace to supply it.
I've got to lower myself. I have to. It's the only way. I look at how God lowered himself. Mm. I mean, that's the solution for me too. Then, if God lowered himself, I need to lower myself, like Ian said.
You know, it is very hard, but when Ian was telling me how difficult it is, among us, it's very easy to take the challenge. Of course, I'm gonna do it. No problem. I've got 4-6 days left, or 4 days left, till the next year, and I will do it. Of course, I will do it. Then I come back home and I forget about it. And what is crucial is actually to get yourself exposed to those situations. Whatever we do, whenever we see anything happening of that nature, we can actually show love of Christ in our lives, and we just need to understand that God loves us first. And just because I'm so grateful to Him, now I want to
share that love with others.
And now we're in the spirit of giving. That's what the season's all about. It's what it should be about, at least. And really, we're seeing, even in the very genealogy, the kind of mind space you need to enter in order to enter into the season that's about the birth of Christ.
You know, Christmas season is probably the worst season for those people who feel lonely and who cry at night.
Like Julia's story.
It's the worst season. So now this is the perfect time to find that one person that you don't even want to invite for your Christmas party. And just, I know one neighbor who lives right in our apartment complex down there. So maybe this is perfect reason for me to invite him over. Because this would be the highlight of his life, maybe.
It's so awesome. I mean, I just love what we're talking about, because it's like the whole gospel is in that first chapter. You know, everything that you could learn everything about Jesus just by reading his genealogy.
Oleg, I'm feeling a big burden right now, actually, just thinking about this, because we've uncovered some really amazing stuff from this genealogy, and now shame on us if we then take that and do nothing with
it.
If we don't head out and actually do something about this, if we don't go find people that are hurting and accept them and love them the way Jesus did, then shame on us. You know, we've done the first step, but now we've got to.
There is no reason for this Christmas season if we just celebrate Christmas season and flood our rooms or guest rooms with lots of presents.
More presents. Mm-hmm.
More presents. No.
Yeah.
It's not the. It's not. It's not Christmas that Jesus was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's not Christmas. Jesus didn't even want this Christmas to be present in our life. If it's only about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a perfect time for us to just get on our knees, pick up the towel and pick up this basin and just start washing feet all around the globe. And let's just do it, not just talk about it. Sergio, I like what you said.
Yeah.
Shame on us.
Shame on us
if you don't do it.
Amen.
Okay, what did you learn? We have only 1 minute left, 20 seconds each.
Well, I'll just emphasize that word you started out with, acceptance. And it's again, easier said than done, but I can see that. I can see places where I could do better in accepting people. It doesn't necessarily have to be even how I treat them. Of course, I'm Christian, so I know how to behave and talk Christian-ish.
Yeah.
But still in my mind, I'm looking down on people or not really accepting them as equal or even greater than myself.
Great point. Great point. Jennifer?
I guess the genealogy of Jesus just makes me happy because I'm one of the shady people, too. Oh. And so I'm glad that God loves me and accepts me, and I just, want to show that same love to others.
Yeah. Sergio.
Let's go do it, There's still time. The year's not over. The holiday's not over. Let's go out and live this.
Let's live this. And let this be your state of mind.
Yeah.
Unknown. Let's become just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that is why Apostle Paul said, imitate me just as I imitate Jesus. In other words, imitate Jesus.
Yeah.
And if we love him, I want to imitate him. Mm. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks, Sergio. Thanks to everyone who was able to join us for this powerful discussion of the genealogy of Jesus. And we will be back with today's conclusion right after this break. So don't go anywhere.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
Ulrich Zwingli was one of the most famous reformers. He decided to preach from the Bible and proclaimed its importance. He said that the genealogy of Jesus, if understood correctly, contains the essential theology or the message of Reformation. Let me add, it contains the essential message of the Old and the New Testaments. In fact, Zwingli's first sermon on the first Sunday of January in 1519 at Grossmünster Cathedral in Zurich was one on the genealogy of Jesus. Till this day, the main door of the cathedral contains the bas-relief of four women mentioned in the lineage of Jesus: Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. The genealogy of Jesus was just as radical as the Protestant Reformation. I hope that during this season, not only do we think about presence, but about the one who is the reason for this season. God did something amazing through Jesus. He accepted the entire world. He loved the entire world, and he did not care what past that person had. Today, Jesus once again wants to accept you. He wants to accept me. Perhaps you may think that you do not deserve to be listed in the genealogy of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. But trust me, he loves you so much that he already accepted you with all your faults and with all your imperfections. And through him, you are made perfect. The only thing that is left now is the gift of acceptance that we can pass on to others. So I would like to challenge you today to accept that person that you didn't want to accept before. Maybe it is your son who rebels against you. Maybe it is your husband who was unfaithful to you. Maybe it is your coworker who you cannot tolerate anymore. Accept all people and love them for Christ's sake. And may The joy and happiness of union with Jesus fill your home today. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and on Cross Connection.